Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say.
He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that old silk cap they found.
Around.
Oh, Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
Frosty the Snowman knew the sun was hot that day, so he said,
"Let's run and we'll have some fun now before I melt away."
Down to the village with a broomstick in his hand, running here and there all around the square, saying,
"Catch me if you can."
He led them down the streets of town, right to the traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when he heard him holler,
"Stop!"
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast, show number 132. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Doug. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Pull up a stool, buddy, and let's get into some Christmas. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everybody.
Yeah, we're down to the mere hours till the holidays are upon us, and everybody's busy, so good to get a little escapism from that and talk a little Disney.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little Disney. We're going to do some news first like we normally do, and then we're going to talk we're going to have a little Christmas fun with Disney. Sound good, Dan?
Sounds awesome.
All right, buddy, let's dive into the news, Christmas boy.
All right. A couple of things we got going on. The Pangani Forest Exploration Trail fully opens next week, so I think when you were down there, Doug, it was it was under renovation, and that's going to open up so that the guests during the busiest time of the year can experience that. The Avery Research Station and the underwater viewing areas, they've been closed since September, and the other areas have been accessible, but you had to kind of go in through the outdoor, as I recall them characterizing it as. And like I said, the reopening comes just in time for the busiest time of the year, so that's good to have that back and fully operational.
Yeah, it was sad when that was closed, though, because I like to go under that underwater swimming area and watch the hippopotamuses swim and all, but you don't get to see any of that now.
Right. Well, that'll all change next week. It'll be back in full swing, so that's awesome. Daisy meet and greet schedule for the holiday week. Daisy is no longer appearing at the old boat dock, but will be appearing for the holidays. So anybody heading over to the Animal Kingdom will see this change as well. Like I said, she'll be meeting and greeting on Discovery Island across from Creature Comforts from the 21st of December to the 31st of December. So that's just for 10 days or so. Staying on the Animal Kingdom track here, operating hours will be extended on select days during the holidays. So as Disney is apt to do when they get slammed down there with holiday crowds or whatever it might be, they tend to extend the park hours. And that's always a good tip to, you know, consult your park guide or your TV in your resort room, because sometimes even unannounced, they'll extend not only for extra magic hours in the morning or the evening, but just extend park hours in general to kind of take some of the pressure off the resort as a whole.
Yeah, it says the park will be closing late at 9 p.m. now on December 27th, 29th, and the 30th. So they'll be open extra hours. If I was going down at that time, mm-hmm. I would book a late dinner at the Yak and Yeti.
Yeah, that would be nice, because a lot of times you don't get to see, at least now, you don't get to see the Animal Kingdom that late at night. And if you book the late ADR, you can walk out of there when it's dark and see everything lit up, which, you know, a lot of guests have never experienced, because they tend to leave earlier in the day or the park just closes earlier in the day.
Yeah, I think it would be really neat to have some I would be looking for picture opportunities of the Christmas decorations and stuff late at night on the way out of there, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Like I said, it'd be something that not a lot of people have personal pictures of. I mean, we've all seen them online and stuff, but it would be nice to get a gander at that.
Yeah, we were at Animal Kingdom for Christmas. It's beautiful, but we were only there like most everybody during the day. It closed by the time it got dark, you know what I mean?
Right. So. Well, I think them days are going to be far and few between going forward with Avatar Land and all that coming on. I think that it'll be common.
Rivers of Light, the new river. Yeah.
It'll be commonplace to be heading out of the Animal Kingdom, you know, in the early evening or mid-evening, if you will. So that'll change.
Yeah, I could see in the not-too-distant future, you know, 11 o'clock extra magic hours at the Animal Kingdom. I really can't.
That does sound odd, but I think you're right.
It's going to happen.
Well, that's good. Something else to do at night down at Disney. That's always always good. Moving on here, there was an announcement this week that a restaurant called the STK Orlando will be opening at Disney Springs in 2015. And as we predicted, and everyone else for that matter, you know, there's going to be multiple restaurants opening up, and we heard about Morimoto's restaurant and different ones that are going to be opening at the Springs.
The Lake House, yep. And now the Springs.
Boathouse, is it the Boathouse or the Lake? I think it's the Boathouse. But anyways, this is a new restaurant that will be coming to the Landing District of Disney Springs, and it will be located within the waterfront setting of the Landing at Disney Springs. A completely reimagined shopping and dining entertainment complex, which will double the number of shops and restaurants currently found in downtown Disney. We already kind of know that about Morimoto and the Boathouse. And
the thing I'm looking forward to it, and the article that I read, is it's going to have rooftop dining.
Yeah, which is unique. I mean, Paradiso's 37 doesn't have rooftop dining, but they got a nice deck out
there.
They
have the back deck. But it would be nice to be up on the roof overlooking the whole downtown Disney. I think that would be really nice.
Absolutely. It says here that the STK's unique ambiance blends the elements of a modern steakhouse with sleek lounge, including a DJ, emphasizing a social, fun environment. At approximately 14,000 square feet, the Orlando Outpost will be one of the largest STK locations. STK Orlando will have two dining floors, including a main level and the only rooftop dining venue in Disney Springs.
So do you think the DJ will be playing Who Let the Dogs Out?
Probably.
Oof. Yeah. Is he jamming while you're eating, or do you think he's going to be calm?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard of this restaurant or this chain. It sounds like, from what we read here, that there are multiple locations throughout the country, but I've never heard of them, so I don't know what their niche is, if you will. But there's a couple quotes from some of the Disney reps here. We are thrilled to join the Disney Springs family with the launch of STK Orlando, said Jonathan Segal, CEO of The One Group. Okay, that's the group that owns STK. The combination of an innovative menu and high-energy atmosphere has driven the success of STK. We believe it's an ideal addition to Disney Springs, which will help further cement its status as a place for friends and family to gather for fine dining and entertainment. Seagull added, our entrance into the Orlando market represents another example of continued growth strategy. We remain on track with our expansion plans for 2015 and hope to continue to partner with world-class brands like Walt Disney Parks. So it sounds like they're looking to expand their restaurant presence across the country. And to reference your point there, it does say with its innovative high-energy atmosphere. I'm just wondering what that is.
Well, I'm telling you, the roof. Yeah. The roof is on.
Well, if that's the case, I won't be there.
There you go,
but,
buddy.
You know, whatever. It's something different.
You can tell how old my music is, can't you?
Right.
I'm not into none of the new stuff. I'm in the old school dance music.
But, I mean, where it says it's going to be family friendly, I got to believe it's not going to be anything too outrageous. But I just a general comment from a cranky old guy here. You know, if I can't hear somebody talking that's sitting 3 feet away from me, I'm not interested in eating there or doing anything there for that matter. So hopefully there's a, you know, if they have a band or it's a DJ, but it'll be maybe in a different area or, you know, a little more subtle. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what it's all about.
Oh, that's cool. I'm looking forward to it. I ain't as crotchety as you, but
okay.
I don't like to not be able to talk either. I don't want to scream.
Exactly. We have some local chains up here that I can't remember the name of it right now if you have them down there. But it's like a country western bar theme. Is it, the Roadhouse or something? I don't know what it is. Yeah. And they do this line dancing thing. And, you know, you're sitting there having dinner and, you know, with background music, you know, all country music and stuff. And then all of a sudden they start this line dancing and a DJ kind of takes over type thing. And, oh, my God, you literally cannot hear somebody if they're yelling in your ear. It's so irritating. And I just don't get that. But that's me.
Yes. Well, that's you. No, but yeah, when it's too loud, I like it festive. I don't mind it after dinner, but when the whole idea of dinner is supposed to have conversation.
Exactly. I mean, you know, entertainment to me, you have a separate, you know, dance hall, or if you can have a DJ, you know, that's all good, but not intermingled with the dining portion of it. But,
well, that's how Raglan Road gets with the band sometimes.
Yeah, and I got to say, I don't, you know, but again, if I was going to Raglan Road to have drinks and you know, enjoy the evening and watch the step dancers and stuff, that's all good. But if I'm having dinner, you know, that gets a bit distracting.
But that's a good thing. There's a little bit of everybody going on down there.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's see.
The crotchety old man club I just read is going up in the corner over there.
Yeah, no.
Going to have needle pointing and woodworking while you eat.
I'll be down the road at Portobello's Yacht Club or something.
There you go.
Let's see here. The expanded area in front of the Tree of Life opens at Disney's Animal Kingdom, so all of those construction walls that I believe you saw when you were down there, Doug, are down.
I've never seen more construction walls in my life than the last trip I was down.
There's a lot going on.
I felt like I was at work every day.
Yeah, it was. It's unbelievable. But that's all good. I mean, some of this stuff is starting to reopen, and it's been reimagined, and you know, it's just good to see that a lot of the hard work that the Disney folks have done over the past, you know, 3 months or so is starting to pay off, and all these areas are starting to open. So that's all good.
To expand on the Disney Springs, to add a little bit, did you see Paradiso 37's also expanding?
Yeah, I did.
So that's going to be bigger, and who knows, they look like they're going out more over the water.
Yeah, which
so everybody, there's going to be a lot of water. The whole thing's going to be designed around the water. Every restaurant, it looks like, is going to have some kind of water deal with it.
Yeah, that's interesting because I guess they could put a deck out and extend, but if you can envision, and I know you walked this when you went down there, that walking path goes down behind Paradiso 37. You actually, to get on the other side, to the west side, you have to bang a right there before you get to Paradiso 37 and go around there. Now, maybe that's a temporary deck or walkway or something, and that's going to come out, which will allow them to, you know, build out under the water more. Because
I would think if they're going to go, they probably would go that way, unless they're going to build a deck where you can walk under it, if you follow me.
Yeah, that could be too. It's interesting.
Who knows? Yeah. But, you know, water's the prime real estate. The way it seems like everything's going to be focused more around the water. Because everything was there on the water before, but the water wasn't a focus except for Fulton's Crab House, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that's true. It really was. It was more built to look into the land than it was to look out onto the water. And you're right; they didn't maximize their potential there, as having having things be jut out into the water or utilize the beautiful views and such. I definitely think that they're going to start using that as a focal point of the whole Disney Springs renovation or expansion, I should say. And
I mean, some of the newer restaurants on the west side, they started to use it, and I think that made them say, whoa, this is the way it should have been. As soon as they decided to knock down Pleasure Island, the first thing came to mind is we're going to really use our waterway here.
Yeah, I mean, this is just the way I view it, but I catch the boat a lot from behind the House of Blues there. But if you cut down behind the where the big balloon goes up there, if you that sidewalk that hugs the waterway and goes all the way down behind the House mm-hmm. of Blues, it's so barren. It's just rocks there, and all you're really seeing is the back facades of the restaurants and shops and such that are there. It's almost like they turn their back on the water instead of making it the welcoming area that it should be. So that's going to be nice.
Yeah, when you went into Pleasure Island, if you came off the street and just went into the parking lot, you would never even know water existed.
Exactly, and that's what I meant. I didn't explain it right before when I said they kind of built it to look in. That's what I mean. They kind of like said, okay, let's put all the fancy front facades on the inside, which makes sense, the walkway, mm-hmm. and the backside of all these buildings were just kind of nondescript. There was a few signs here and there and the neon signs that you can see, but, they really, it'd be nice if when you drive by in the boat, there's a bunch of people out on the deck having dinner or, waving to you or whatever, and I think you're going to get more of that with this new expansion.
Yeah, like I said, we floated up the first few years. I mean, it was breathtaking when you came out the Sascoula River into the lake there.
Right.
And you seen Pleasure Island all lit up. It was absolutely breathtaking.
Right.
But if you just took the bus, like our first year, the first time we went with Caribbean Beach, we took the bus over after we left Riverside and we had the boats. Mm-hmm. But the bus we had to take from then on from Caribbean Beach the rest of that first week. And they would drop us off in the parking lot there at Pleasure Island. And if you just walked into Pleasure Island, if you didn't go over to downtown or where the World of Disney is and all, you wouldn't even know there was water.
Right, right.
You would have just said, oh, this is neat. Look at this. This is nice. You wouldn't have expected that there was boat rides somewhere.
Right. And again, I know I've said this before, but I'll mention it. I mean, in fairness to Disney, as that place has kind of morphed over the years, if you will. I mean, it was designed to just be a little hokey, marketplace where, guests in general could shop or even cast members or something. So obviously when they first look at this, they had no intention or no idea that, someday it would be the huge draw that it is today and it will be going forward. So, they didn't put the infrastructure in. They didn't, build it thinking forward enough to, think that someday they'd need all this space and stuff. So it is good that they're kind of looking at it from a fresh perspective and quote-unquote doing it right now.
Well, they dropped the ball. Go figure. People like food.
Yeah. Well, again, if you go way back, I mean, it was a very modest place back in the day. I mean, when they just had the Magic Kingdom and the Contemporary and the Poly, I mean, it was just a theme park and a couple of resort restaurants. And then, Disney Springs was what, the marketplace?
So the original was called the Buena Vista Shops and then the Marketplace.
So, I mean, it was very, very, very modest. And, like you just said, Doug, as they learned that, they could derive income from all of these spinoff things from the theme park, restaurants, golf, other things that you can do down there, they started playing catch-up over the years, which is where they are now.
I think it's twofold. I think what happened was they realized their mistake with downtown as far as Pleasure Island, that it wasn't a good thing for Disney, in my opinion, even though I enjoyed it. But the biggest thing is I think Food and Wine taught them how much foodies this country is. And if you watch the Food Network and the and the restaurant. Now, they have all the – I mean, food is a major, major market now. I mean, it used to be meat and potatoes, but now everybody's on health kicks and cooking right. And I mean, think about it, Dan. In the last 15 years, food, in my opinion, has become more of a staple and more different things. Like, everybody likes to try new things now. I think people have become more adventurous towards food over the past 15 years. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, to your point, I mean, it used to be just, you know, quote-unquote comfort food, you know, and now, you can still get that down there, but there is all kinds of offerings with food and wine and different restaurants that represent different countries and different culinary, but, you know.
I even think parents are bringing kids up with a more, how can I say it, a better palate. Like, when I grew up, it was hot dogs, hamburgers, baked beans. I know a lot, it's chicken nuggets and McDonald's, but even that has really dropped off. I mean, if you watch, I mean, there's even been reports that McDonald's are losing loyal customers. Like, their selling is going down. But my point of it is more people are experiencing more foods, I think, over the past 15 years than they ever have in my lifetime.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, people of our age and a little older or maybe a little younger. They've grown up with, you know, the Disney that we know now that, you know, think about this. I mean, you talk to people in the real world, and when we try to tell them that you're going to Disney World and you got to make some dining reservations, they say, oh, you're going down next week or something? And you go, well, no, I'm not going for 6 months. And they look at you like you got three heads, like, what do you mean you're making a dining reservation for 6 months? And they have no concept with how popular these restaurants are and how big a part of your vacation, you know, dining is when you're down there. So, you know, it certainly is popular. And, you know, I know in our family and I know in yours as well. I mean, dining is a big part of the vacation. I mean,
we're preparing our – like you were, we were talking before the show, like preparing our Christmas Eve menu.
Right, right.
Back in the day when my mom and dad prepared the Christmas Eve, they went out and just got cheese and pepperoni, some crackers.
Right.
Did a couple pigs in a blanket. You know, you threw potato salad on the table and,
yep,
or macaroni, and you were done.
Right.
Now you're thinking of this, that, let's do this. And I mean, I didn't even know what the hell hummus was when I was a kid.
Yeah, neither did I, and I love hummus. No, but you're right. But
we wouldn't even be thought to try that.
Right.
And there's so many different things that is just common now that never were when we were kids. And I think that's why the whole foodie thing is expanding everywhere. Like most – all your hotels, anything that's being built now – a lot of the hotels are built around the restaurants.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, most hotels, if they don't have a signature dining location on their site or, you know, adjacent to or whatever, they can't make it because, again, that's part of the lure of getting people to stay at different places. Even like the Swan Dolphin, where they got 7 or 8 restaurants in that facility between the two of them.
Exactly, and we know who the people are by name, and that's
mm-hmm.
my point. Like, when we were kids, you didn't know who Chef what's a Marimota? Is it a toy dad? I mean, you know, you didn't know what Chef Marimota and Giada De Laurentiis. I mean, you have Giada, Rachel Ray. You have all these Wolfgang Puck. We didn't know who Wolfgang – would you have known who Wolfgang Puck was as a kid, but your kids knew who he was?
Well, and that's just it. And again, I've shared this story, but my son is a chef in New York City, and he literally grew up watching Emeril on TV when he started his first show on the Food Network, and that's how he happened to choose his career. I mean, he's – oh, God, I'm going to do this to myself – 26 now, 27, and you know, he watched cartoons and stuff like every kid, but he was fascinated by Emeril Lagasse and watching his shows and the different things he prepared. And he started tinkering around at home here, trying different things that my wife and I would never try to cook. But, you know, he tried different things and decided he wanted to go to culinary school and that whole thing. And it ended up being a career for him. So for him, like you're saying, Doug, kids of that age now, they grew up with exposure to these different cooking techniques and different chefs from all over the world that, again, you and I never would have known about when we were kids. It was the only chef we knew was Chef Boyardee.
Exactly. I mean, and I give you credit for putting that out there because you had him, what, when you were 40 or 41?
Oh, who's that?
Your son?
No, I was, no, I was.
I'm kidding, Dan.
Yeah. Me.
Well, right over your head. You're so quick, buddy. Yeah.
I didn't know there would be a math problem.
I think the only, what's that?
I said I didn't know there was going to be math on this show.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But no, make you 67,
yeah.
Buddy. I was only,
not that
I was
old.
Only saying, having some fun
mm-hmm.
here. No, but the point is, yeah, there's more. I mean, what was the one, the really popular one? The one to talk like this. What was that?
Yeah, the French cook there.
You seen the movie that Meryl Streep played
yeah,
in?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll think of it, but I can't think
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, she was
now.
The only one that I even heard of as a cook, and that's because Mom had the cookbooks in the house.
Yeah, my son has all of those, and she did a lot of traditional French cooking, and again, she was the staple, you're right, and I can't remember her name, but
exactly,
let's
and that proves
on.
Our point even more,
yeah.
You know.
All right. Yeah, moving right along. I'm assuming by now you saw the new pictures of the Polynesian Resort lobby.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, I'm glad you think that because I thought the same thing. It's clean. It's nice. A couple of comments I heard, well, it looks kind of like the Wilderness Lodge or the Animal Kingdom Lodge, you know, only a little you know, smaller, which –
in scale,
yeah.
Yeah,
which I kind of agree with, but I'm all right with it. I think it, you know, it looks clean. The seating areas there now, which they never had in the middle.
Again, Dan, we go back to this. They're the same people that want the paper tickets.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
They don't ever want anything to change. It's horrible. Boo hoo. Well, don't go there. Go stay at the Wilderness Lodge and save yourself $100. I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
I mean,
no, I think it looks great. I mean, it looks like it's got like a little lava fountain in the middle, which I think is probably a, you know, a throwback, if you will, to the big fountain that was there. But, you know, obviously it doesn't match it in scale or size or grandeur, but, it, you know, it's a nice little touch, and I like it. I mean, I'll reserve total opinion until I actually see it firsthand, but from the pictures I saw, I think it looks pretty nice.
Yeah, it kind of – it has the open-air feel of, like, the Wilderness. But if you're there and you're just judging this on what you're seeing in pictures, you're really selling yourself short. But from what I can see in the construction field, every different – all the stone, all the flooring, all the coverings, everything is totally 100% kind of decor to what the Wilderness Lodge is. All the stones are more Polynesian, more seashore-ish. They're more to that kind of respect. The other one is more of rustic, if you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a different theme. And
it's a totally different.
Right.
The etchings in the wood is totally different. The woods are totally more towards the Polynesian era. I mean, the more Polynesian decor. I mean, if you really look at the two, they would be – if you went to a designer, they'd be absolutely 180 degrees separated from each other.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean,
just the crying has to be crying. Go get paper tickets and go stand in line and take your stamp and pout that you don't want to use your magic bands.
Yeah, you know, and it is. I don't. I mean, we do it all the time just for discussion points. But I mean, you really shouldn't compare, in my view. You know, what do you call it? A resort to a resort. I mean, each one is unique in its own way, and it represents a certain. You know, area of the country or of the world. So, I mean, again, to me, like it or don't like it for what it is, but don't not like it because it reminds you of something else or you think it looks like something else. I mean, you know, do you walk into Pop Century and say, oh, I hate this because it don't look like the Wilderness Lodge or it reminds me of, you know, Riverside? Or, you know, to me, each resort should stand on its own for how it looks.
They're all unique, and this is more unique than you think. Just give it a chance. Go over and look at it before you yell and scream. Nobody's even stepped foot in it really yet,
right.
The people that are complaining.
I hear you.
Wah! Stop it.
And just for all the people that were yelling into their speakers, the chef's name that we were trying to think of is Julia Child.
Yeah, there you go. I did a perfect I did the impression,
yeah.
Then. You have to call
you did,
the name.
You did. I could picture her and hear her talking,
no.
But I just couldn't come up with the name. But, yeah.
Get me 2 cups of flour.
Yeah, and the joke used to be that she would drink more wine than she put in her cooking pan, and that was always a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because she was pretty funny to listen to. They still play some of her old shows sometimes. You can catch them.
Yeah. Yeah, she broke the mold, but you're right. It was all the Emma Lagasse. He started it all. Bam!
Right, right.
Bam, bam. Your son probably liked that, and that sucked them right
in. Yeah, well, he was not only a great chef, but he was a personality, and I think
he was a salesman.
Yeah, well, yeah. Now he does more selling. I mean, he sold his company, but you know, I've eaten at a couple of his restaurants. Or
he has great food
over in Universal, and yeah, it is awesome. But
oh, you said you were Dan. You okay?
Yeah, that was boy. That had to be over 12, 15 years ago when we ate there. But, yeah, we couldn't go at the time. You know, my son was in the height of his fascination with Emeril and, you know, cooking and all that. So we couldn't not go. I mean, he would have been devastated. So that was pretty much the highlight of his trip. That and again, I told this story, that and when we went to the California Grill, when they took him backstage in the kitchen and gave him a full walkthrough of the kitchen and the freezers and the prep area, and he was
awesome.
Oh, he was in his that he still talks about that today.
See, what I like even more about that is that they are that confident. There ain't many restaurants that allow a civilian to walk in it because they'd be afraid of what they would say.
Yeah, that's true.
They show you how confident they are and how clean and how to the point that they are
right
at these restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it just all that started with just a casual conversation with my son and, you know, my wife and I and my daughter. But, you know, saying that, you know, my son wanted to, you know, he was thinking about going to culinary school and blah, blah, blah. And one thing led to another. And that was the same night we were playing around with Yoshi there. I told you the
sushi chef.
So that all kind of tied together. But, you know, he didn't have to do it, but the head chef come over and introduced himself and said, oh, Matthew, you know, that's cool that you, you know, have an interest in culinary, he said, culinary arts. And he said, you know, when you get done eating, just let me know or let your waiter know, and I'm going to take you on a private tour. And, you know, he was gone for 10 or 15 minutes. We thought he thought somebody hijacked him or something, but he was in his glory. So, but again,
that's really nice. That's the Disney difference.
Absolutely. And again, that to me, that ties into what you were saying about, you know, how kids of that age or people of that age grew up on, you know, these celebrity chefs and such. And I got to admit, I watch a lot of those shows. I watched a lot of them.
We love Gordon Ramsay. He can't yell at people enough for
me. Yeah, I mean, he's a personality. And to me, that's what makes it. If you just had some boring chef on there saying, you know, add 2 cups of flour and, you know, that stuff is like, you know, you get bored out of your mind, which there are some of those shows that are just very technical. But obviously the celebrity chefs have cranked it up a notch with his contests and judges, and they critique the food, and you know, it's a whole thing, and I find them fairly entertaining myself.
Me and Brenda love Hell's Kitchen and MasterChef. They're two of our favorite shows.
Right.
We never miss an episode.
Right. No doubt.
So moving on, buddy.
Yeah, where are we here?
You're at the Animal Kingdom. It is cool the way they opened that whole area up. It's making me excited for what it's going to be. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm glad they took the walls down. I'm just sad that I missed my Tough to be a Bug the last trip.
Yeah. You'll have to do it twice next trip to make up for it.
Absolutely.
back at the Animal Kingdom. And I guess these two stories kind of tie into those construction walls coming down. But the Isle of Java coffee kiosk opened at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Coffee and pastry fans now have a new kiosk to enjoy at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And again, I believe this is fairly close to where those construction walls came down. Let's see. It's located next to the Flame Tree Barbecue on Discovery Island. It serves coffee and a variety of baked goods, including cupcakes, brownies, Danish, and pastries. A specialty island cappuccino drink can be yours for $7.25, which includes white chocolate and spiced rum. Most items are available on the Disney Dining Plan. Isle of Java is open from park opening to park close, including extra magic hours. This new kiosk is permanent home of the former Isle of Java cart that was located near the tip board on Discovery Island.
Easy for you to say.
And it, those of us who remember the tip board that was right on the right when you kind of made your way towards the Tree of Life, used to be around there. So, again, this is I think this is a good addition, and the more offerings there are, the better, in my view.
I think the thing you're really excited about is the new Starbucks was announced for Animal Kingdom, too.
Exactly, and Creature Comforts will close in early January and expected to become the Animal Kingdom Starbucks location, excuse me. And again, we expected this as they have put a Starbucks in each of the other theme parks, and it looks like Animal Kingdom will be getting theirs sooner than later. And I guess that one at the studios is almost done. I don't know if it's open yet, but it should be close, if not.
I think that's opening in January.
Is it? It's expected to open in January. Yeah, so, I mean, these are, you know, you'll have Starbucks represented in each of the four parks, which is all good for us Starbucks lovers, and for the haters, get over it.
My wife is going to be totally happy about this because she loves It was her treat. We'd get to the parks, and she'd get her frozen ice, or get a frozen latte, an iced latte.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was in her pumpkin spice latte, frozen every morning she would get. And she was in her heaven.
Yeah.
Put a smile on her face.
Hey, Vicky.
And it gave her a kick. I was happy for it because it got her chip chop. She was ready to go. She had a spring in her step, if you follow me.
You were chasing her around instead of the other way around, right?
Exactly. It was good. She could keep up.
Right, right.
Yeah, because I could walk fast. So she was right there stride for stride.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, but so. I mean, again, we've gone around that. I think we're past the point of people saying, oh, this isn't good for Disney to be bringing in an outside company into the parks. But as we all know.
They were the same people complaining about the Polynesian Lounge,
right,
Dennis.
Exactly.
They're just trying to find stuff. They don't realize that Coca-Cola's been on Casey's Corner since 97 when I went down there.
Exactly.
And Kodak is in this place, and you know, they have all kind of McDonald's was there for the french fries. You didn't see big arches over and over by remember the stand that was right over by Pirates of the Caribbean?
I do.
They were McDonald's fries. Did you see a huge arch above it?
No, I do remember subtle arch, but you had to squint to see it, and obviously that has a unique smell to it. You could tell that it was McDonald's. There's no doubt about it. But again, it was all done tastefully and modestly, and there's no big neon golden arches blinking out there, nor is there a blinking mermaid for Starbucks. I mean, it's pretty. It's done very tastefully.
Under that reasoning, they shouldn't allow the House of Blues to be called the House of Blues. It should have to hide the sign underneath a napkin or something. I mean, come on.
Right.
It's a business. You want it to be – do you want your tickets to be $800 a day? If not, let them advertise a little bit, please.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's right. I mean, you're right. You know, if it wasn't for these sponsors and advertisers, I mean, somebody's got to pay the freight, and it would be us if it wasn't them. So, I mean, we should be happy that there are companies that are willing to drop millions of dollars down in the Disney parks for advertisement purposes, because you're right, it does keep the the daily cost to go to the parks at a reasonable rate.
I mean, they're ridiculous, but they would be insane if you didn't have Starbucks and Coca-Cola and different sponsors. I mean, Joffrey's, the coffees, and all this stuff is the reason why we can get a 10-day pass for $400.
Right.
You know what I mean, if not, it'll be $1,000.
Right.
You know,
no, it'll be that price soon enough on its own, even with the sponsorship. So, I mean, if we can...
Well, hopefully gas is going down, Dennis. Maybe Disney's prices will.
Man, I filled up this morning, and I pay. What did I pay? $2.49 a gallon. I was in heaven.
Yep, we're at $2.27 down here.
Oh man, that's even better.
Well, then our fans are going to write. We don't need to hear about gas, but the great point, my van used to cost me $77
right.
to fill it up. The other day I filled it up from a quarter tank mark, and it cost me $47 I almost passed out.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we won't go into the politics of it, why it's happening, but the fact that it is happening, I mean, it's noticeable. I mean, you're not talking just a buck or two. I mean, on a typical...
It's like a tax cut.
Yeah, it's given, it's putting more disposable income in people's pockets, and who knows, maybe it'll translate into the retailers having a banner year for shopping and stuff, which will help the economy, and everybody wins in that regard.
Well, the thing is now, a road trip to Disney is even more advantageous. Hopefully, maybe the airfares will come down, too, a little bit because of the gas prices. I mean, but
yeah, it's all petroleum products, whether it's jet fuel or it's, you know, unleaded for your car or whatever. Anything that takes petroleum products, it's got to have an impact, I would think.
When I drove that truck down in September with the load, it would cost me a round trip around almost a little over $700. If I took that same trip now, it would probably cost me $4. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and like I said, everybody wins because now that's maybe one more ADR you make and eat out at a signature dining or a sit down restaurant where you know Disney's going to make more money. It just it goes down the chain. You know, you have more money in your pocket, you spend it, everybody makes out. So it's all good as far as I can see.
Absolutely. You can drive down there reasonably now.
Yeah, it's like the old days, you know, when you could, you know, for a couple $100 max, you could, you know, I'm a little further north than you, but I could, you know, drive the 1,312 miles and at a reasonable cost. It makes it something to think about.
When we went down the first couple of years, it would cost me $90 each way.
Wow.
Yeah, the first year we went, I had a brand new Isuzu Rodeo.
Okay.
And that's a four-cylinder sports utility, mm-hmm. And we bought that with the stick because my wife wanted the stick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even stick shifts get better gas mileage and automatics. And we literally went down, it was three stops, three fills.
Right, right.
To get there and three for the way back, it was like $180 round trip for gas.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why you would drive down, because if you're taking like the mother-in-law, the step, like we went down with my father, six of us, you buy six plane tickets.
Mm.
You know, that's where you're saving your money with the driving.
Right, right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's how we justified it early on when we were going. I mean, we were counting pennies to go down and plane tickets, put aside fear of flying or, you know, that was even before terrorism was, you know, focal point. It just wasn't we couldn't afford it even if we wanted to go. It was just something that, well, that's for the rich people to fly down, you know. We're the Beverly Hillbillies. We're going to load up the car and head on down. So, you know, that's how we did it, and that's the only way we could afford to do it.
Yep, but now it's getting reasonable again to drive down, thank goodness.
No, that's it's a win for everyone. So, well, that's our political gas tax or gas talk for today. Well,
but we found a way to loop it into Disney, right. My man. Come on, look at us. We're trained professionals.
Let's get back to the news here. It was announced on the Disney Parks blog that new Magic Bands are coming out, and some of them have already been released earlier in December. But anyways, on December 12th, there was a Sorcerer Mickey Magic Band that looks awesome. I like that one that was released. On December 14th, a Mini Polka Dot Magic Band, which doesn't have a picture of Minnie, but it's just her pattern of her dress, if you will. The red with the white polka dots, so you can get that one. On December 17th, a Stitch Magic Band was released, and it shows him kind of licking the band, if you will, which is typical Stitch-type stuff. Mm-hmm. And then on December 22nd, the Disney Princesses Magic Band was released, or will be released. It was released. Oh, no, tomorrow. Don't mind me. I don't know what day it is. And each of these are $19.95 each, which I like the price point. A lot of these were trending. I think the special ones for the events like Mickey's Not So Scary and such are $24.99. But these, they're calling them limited release or whatever, Magic Bands, $19.95 each. And the good thing about these is they got it set up now where you can you don't need to load your ticket media on them when you buy them. So if you're down in Disney World and you want to buy one as a gift, maybe bring it home to somebody that's going down later in the year, you can do that, and then they can just link everything up to it when they get to their resort or at one of the parks or what have you. So I'm glad that they figured this out, because earlier in the year when they were releasing some of these special, I think the Haunted Mansion Band, which was one of the earlier ones.
Seven Doors Mine Train wasn't that special when they were having problems with them.
Well, it wasn't so much problems. They either they couldn't do it or they didn't want to do it for some reason, and I don't know which, but they said, yeah, that's fine, you can buy this, but we won't let you purchase this unless you link up your, you know, ticket media and all that to it, which made it kind of lousy. You know, it's fine if it was for you for this trip, but if you were buying it for somebody else, you know, you just you couldn't do it because they weren't there to link their media to it. So this is all good, different choices, and, you know, for a reasonable cost. I mean, it's just plastic and a microchip or whatever in it, but some people like to look fashionable and have these different magic bands. So for $20, you can do that.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm waiting for my Russell band.
Oh, I'm sure it's coming. I think this is going to be like Disney pins, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm waiting for Russell and my Riverside one for right now, and then there's plenty of others.
Yeah. I read that somewhere. Well, it was the cell phone cases that they were starting to do resort-specific cell phone cases, but I got to believe that right alongside the hats and the T-shirts and the keychains and the magnets, soon you'll see a magic band that's specific to the resort you're staying in. I know it.
I'm looking forward to it.
And that's all I got for news, unless you got something else, Doug.
Yeah, I got something that was just came out a couple minutes ago that I read, is that the Apple Pay has been announced. The contactless payment to be available this week at Walt Disney World. It's announced Apple Pay will start on December 24th.
Nice. I know a lot of people that got the iPhone 6s were looking forward to that technology, and where Disney and Apple are, you know, hand in hand with this, you got to figure they'd be a big player in this. So, I mean,
yeah, because Steve Jobs was part of Disney's board for one time, wasn't he?
I believe so. So there's been a close relationship with those two companies, and
because they're both into the future technology.
Yep.
It says the iPhone 6, the iPhone 6 Plus, and plus the Apple Watch will be part of it.
Right. And so, yeah, I mean, it's all good. I mean, I kind of have that now on my phone. Well, I have a 6, but I mean, I can't say that I'm looking forward to this. It's just something that doesn't interest me. But however, once I do it, I'll probably think it's the greatest thing in the world. So I'll probably
greatest thing since sliced bread, Dennis.
Exactly. No, I just, you know, I tend to use Disney gift cards, so that's probably what it is. When I go down there, I'm a big believer in saving for vacations and putting money on Disney gift cards. So unless there's a way to link that to Apple Pay, which I doubt it, for right now I'm going to stay old school, I guess. But, you know, I very rarely use a credit card.
Well, there'll be a way. Now you can just go out and buy yourself an Apple gift card and load it.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm just playing devil. You could do that if you tend to like it. I'm sure that's the way it'll work. And I wouldn't be surprised then by this time next year, or probably way before, there's going to be a Disney Apple gift card.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I guess, and I don't know with an Apple gift card. I'm sure it's like an iTunes card or something like that.
It is. That's what you do. Right. You just put it in your iTunes account, and I'm sure this whole Apple account, it's all linked. My phone is linked to my iTunes account. It's all one account.
Right. But
so if you load money on there, know how you load money in your iTunes account to buy music? I'm sure you do it the same way for Apple Pay.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if I'm able to do it in increments, I think I'd be a little more interested in it, and maybe what you're saying would work, so that I you know, because I like to throw a couple $100 a month or whatever on my Disney gift cards to save for a trip, and then get $1,000 or $1,500 on it. If I go to the Apple store and buy a card or somehow set up this account, as long as I could add to it, like if I go to the Apple store or whatever, that'd be good. I think I would.
You go right into Target and buy $25, $50, $100 gift cards, scratch them off, put the code in, and load it right in your Apple account.
If that's the case, then I might be on board sooner than I think. But yeah, I mean, it's great technology, and I already know some people that used it. Dean from the WDW Northeast podcast, who I've known for years to be our guest podcast, I know he used it on the last trip, and he was raving about how simple it was. He just waved his phone in front of the swipe thing at the kiosk or whatever he was doing, and it sucked it right out of his account. So he was a big fan of that, and he said it worked for him. So I may have to look into that.
Yeah, I just wish it was easier to load your Disney. I think they need to find a way to load your Disney gift cards onto the band and be done with it.
Yeah, that's been a bugaboo for years. And, you know, from what I understand, Doug, and I don't know all the nuances of it, but the Disney gift card company, if you will, isn't a Disney company. It's like a third party that manages that for them.
What I'm hoping is, I'll rephrase what I'm saying, is like how they had the Apple account. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has My Disney Experience, and I wish you could set up some kind of account with Disney where on My Disney Experience where you could just go in and load money onto your Magic Bands.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right, but the way you got to do it now, you got to present a credit card or something else, and yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. That would be a lot more convenient.
This way, like you, monthly, if you wanted to just go in and load $200 onto your bands and be done with it.
Right.
You could do it with your debit card, if you follow me.
No doubt. I'm sure all this is coming. You're right, Doug.
Exactly. So that's my point. I'm hoping that – because I don't want to wave my phone. I have a band to wave. Why am I waving my phone, my band? What am I going to wave my hand? I'm going to have a hat next.
We're spoiled. I don't want to wave my phone.
Yeah, what I'm saying is I already have a band. Isn't the band supposed to do the same thing the phone's doing?
Yeah, you're right. All these technologies are kind of merging. Where it all ends up, who knows?
I just want to use my band is what I'm saying. I don't want to use I want to just take some pictures with my phone, talk on my phone. I don't want to be paying with my phone. I want to pay with my band. That's what the band was supposed to be, one-stop shopping.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Doug. And in a perfect world, I mean, you know, we will probably get to this point at some time in the near future. You can pretty much lock your wallet in your safe in your hotel room. There should really be no reason for you to lug a wallet around or a woman to lug a pocketbook around or something. I mean, if everything works correctly, you should be good to go with just your band and or your phone.
Exactly, because Disney has this online, and we heard it on the Be Our Guest, the one guy had a problem with it, like how you could put payments on your Disney.
Mm-hmm.
You could put payments in through the Disney Travel Agency. There's like a Disney vacation
fund.
Okay, you should be able to use that vacation fund the same way and load money onto it. That would go right to your Magic Band.
Right, and who knows? Maybe somebody out there saying, hey, you dummies, you can already do that. I don't think so, but, you know, who knows? Maybe there is a way to do that, and we're just not aware of it.
No, and I'm not. I wish somebody would tell me, because I had like $1,000 in gift cards. I told you, people buy them for me all the time. Mm-hmm. I would love to be able to go online, give the gift card number like you do to me when I'm booking your trip, and just say, add this currency, please, to my Disney Experience account.
Right, because it's all this, you know, it's just all...
That's the only place I'm spending.
Right. And the only drawback, obviously, is people, you know, there's still some people, and I am to a certain extent, although I don't get that wigged out over it, but, you know, they're a little hesitant to put money out there in the cyber world, you know. What if my account gets hacked? What if Disney gets hacked? What if Apple iPay gets hacked? My whole vacation money is gone.
Well,
you know?
The point of it is now is you need to stop that because my bank could get hacked. I mean...
It happens, yeah.
Now, unless you put your money in your pillow, you live with it. It's part of life now.
No,
it's like saying I'm going to get in a car accident if I drive out. Everybody every day gets hit by, God forbid, people get hurt. Last night, God is my witness, my neighbor across the street at 3 in the morning, somebody drove through his fence and took out the telephone pole across the street from me in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I was hoping we'd be able to record today because of I thought I might lose power because they were out there working on lines. That's why I was waiting to call you for a little bit. But what my point is if we're afraid of everything, you hide under your bed.
Right. No, and I agree, and I'm not like that. I mean, I do 99% of my, you know, banking and business transactions online, and I pay all my bills for the most part online, and knock on wood, nothing serious has happened to us yet. And, you know, if it happens, I'll deal with it. But, you know, it's just the way the world is today, and, you know.
Well, like I still write my bills out for the most part, but my point is I'm not afraid to buy something online. I do a lot of things online. Because what's the difference between giving your credit information on the computer or when the girl swipes it at the store? The girl could steal your stuff at the store. I mean, if they're dishonest, if it's going to happen, like we said that all those years, and then Target gets hit, and Best Buy's in this one, and that one, they're all getting hit.
Right. Yeah, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And most of the
most
of the banks have that policy where if it's proven that it was a legitimate theft, that they'll restore your funds or whatever. So there are some things in place where, you know, you're not likely to not get your money back. It may take a while, a couple of weeks, but you know, inevitably you'll get it back. But you're right, you can't live in fear. You know, it's the way the world is today, and if you want to, you know, operate in this world, I mean, you know, there's still some people that, well, I'll even go back to, you know, I used to be a big believer in Disney dollars back when I worked at the Disney store. I mean, that's how I saved for trips. I would buy 20, 30, 50 bucks a week. We'd go to the mall when the kids were small and go to the Disney store. And if we knew we were going, you know, 6 months down the road, you know, and people would give, you know, at Christmas time and birthdays and such, you know, all the kids would get the Disney dollars. And, you know, I'd go down there with a wad of those because, as you know, they only came in ones, fives, and tens. You couldn't get larger denominations.
Everybody wanted 20s, 50s.
Oh, yeah, I would have loved hundreds, you know. That way I could go down with a more reasonable pile of Disney dollars. But as it was, I had all these envelopes with all these various Disney dollars.
Yeah, I went down there with a few of them. I have a couple laying around here somewhere, souvenirs.
Yeah, yeah, we got some in the scrapbook. They're always fun to look back at, and I liked having them. And I think they still sell them at the parks, like, but it's more for, like you're saying, for souvenir type thing. But I don't think they sell them at the Disney stores anymore like they used to.
I think by the time they got as popular as they did, Disney seen down the road, it was all going to a credit card anyway.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it kind of ran out.
Yeah.
So is that it for your news, my
friend?
That
is it.
We bellowed through the news as usual. We're the blowhards of the Disney community here.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yakka, yakkity, yak.
The Yak and Yeti.
We're gonna... Yeah.
Which one are you?
I'm the Yak.
All right, I'm the Yeti. I'm broken.
You're bigger than me,
and
Dan. It has to be that way. Has to be that way.
And I'm broke.
We're gonna have some fun real quick. We're gonna do a little thing for Christmas. We're gonna do if Santa, and I know Santa's not a genie, but we're gonna say if Santa granted you three Walt Disney World wishes, what would you do? Like something special, like that you normally couldn't do. And believe me, if it was for real, we're doing it as me and Dennis have to do this, but if I got a wish, it would be to send every kid or person that never went to Disney down there and any sick kids to send them or help people out. But this is just if me and Dennis had to do it. So, Dan, you want to start us off?
Yes, I will. You kind of threw me a curveball. I just kind of looked at it as three wishes, Disney-type wishes, not necessarily doing it with you. So,
I'm talking about by yourself with your family.
Okay.
I'm just saying it, not with, like, we can't take a whole orphanage down, which I wish we could. It would just be me and you doing
it. Okay, I just didn't want, you know, I might have been a little off track with what the show topic was. But
No, you don't have to take me. I don't want to go with
you.
No.
I'm kidding. I took what you said literally, and maybe I shouldn't have. But all right, my first wish, if I had one, would be to take my family, extended family, I guess, which would be my son and daughter and their boyfriend, girlfriend, my mother, on a land and sea Disney trip, which would include I'd like to do a week on the Disney Fantasy, do an Eastern Caribbean cruise, and then stay for four nights at the Poly at the end of the cruise. And again, that's something that's you know, out of reach for us from a budgetary perspective. But that would be the ultimate Disney family vacation, getting a taste of the Disney Cruise Line, which my wife and I have done once, and we love it, and we've always wanted to get back, which we will someday. But for this show, for the wishes, if I could, you know, money was no object, as they say, that's how I would do it. I would do a 7-day and then four nights at the Poly, sitting in the beautiful new lounge or the entranceway there.
Yeah, the one that you actually appreciate.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the whole point. Like, what we could do that we normally couldn't do, what would you love to do if they – anything you that they said, your wish is our command down there. And like I said, I wish we could take everybody down
there.
You know what I'm saying. But it would be our special wishes. Now, my first one would be – and this – and everybody who knows me will appreciate this. I would love to take all my friends and family and put them on the Disney train, and I get to drive it around the park.
Nice.
I think that would be super, super cool. We have the park, extra magic hours, and we start the night off. with me getting to drive the Disney locomotive around the park. I think that would be so, so cool. And I know it could never happen, but Santa's going to let me do it.
Well, that would be awesome, too, if they would let you take it out of the back lot area, and then you could pull up to the Main Street station, sticking your head out the window, waving to all your family, like that picture with Walt, that famous picture when he's driving the locomotive.
The one in Disney
yeah,
World?
Yeah, Disneyland, rather.
Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the conductor's hat on, and he's waving to the people at the Main Street station. So that could be you in that window, and all your family would be there waiting for you to pick them up and take them on a grand tour around the park.
I think it would be awesome to just be on that train, and everybody, all my family gets on and wants to know where Doug is, and I start blowing the whistle, and I'm the one driving it.
Oh, yeah.
And they would be scared to death, but they would love it. But I think it would be so cool. And then take the train back into the roundhouse, and I would even like to wash it at the end of the night.
Yeah, you're all right. No, that would be.
I would just love to do that. It would be once-in-a-lifetime kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, that would be something that obviously nobody has done, I don't think. You know, those people are trained professionals, as they say, so there's probably little chance of that happening. But that's a great wish, and that's what's good about this topic, that there's no restriction on what we can wish for.
So what would your number two be, my friend?
Number two is kind of a modest wish, but it's one that I've talked about, you know, several times on the show, and I'll continue to talk about this, you know, going forward. But I would wish that they would restore the Tapestry of Nations parade and music to the World Showcase at Epcot. That's one of my favorite soundtracks ever. That's one of my favorite parades. I have many, many great memories of my kids interacting with the puppets, and I just love, love, love that music, and I wish they would bring it back, which I thought they might do for the Epcot 30th that just happened a couple of years ago. So God willing, if I'm around for Epcot 50, maybe I'll see that. But, you know, I'd love that to come back. I just love that parade.
Oh, that's my only parade that I would honestly make a point to watch.
Right, right.
And I can still see – it's one of my memories with my mother-in-law, because it was one of the things that we both loved together. Like, she just loved that music. And the thing of it was always a dream of mine when I'd see the stilt walkers go by that I could – I always said when I want to be a part of that parade, I could actually do that because I walk on stilts every day. When I'm working union, I walk on stilts doing drywall. I was like, I'm actually qualified for something here. I could do that.
Right.
But I love the same thing with you. I still play it, on the computer a lot of times. I'll put it on in the background. Right. Everything about that parade, it was unique. It was awesome. It was different. It wasn't all the lights, and it was more adult music. It was our kind of parade.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no Mickey Mouse or no Disney characters that I remember even in the parade. It was just all, you know, puppets and you know, a big drum. And, you know, just it was a unique Epcot. Well, you know, it was just something unique. It wasn't cookie cutter. Oh, we got to throw Mickey Mouse. And I like that stuff, too. Don't get me wrong. But you're right.
No.
I think it was a little more adult oriented in the music. And it's such a catchy soundtrack. I mean, you know, if you've heard it, you know what it is. And even if you don't know what it, you've probably heard it and don't remember what it was, because it, you know, they make up words and stuff, and it's not even, you know, you don't even know what they're saying. It's just gibberish almost. And but it's awesome. It's awesome.
No, it was a great show, and it was cool the way it started at two places at the same time. So both sides you know what I mean? It was great the way it was done. And like I said to you, I think the only reason that they stopped it because I don't think there was enough room for it back there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Doug. I think that was one of the major reasons why. And if you think about it, back then Food and Wine was just in its infancy or maybe hadn't even started yet. Could you imagine on a weekend with all them people there, them trying to get that parade through while Food and Wine's going on? There's just no. I mean, it was hard enough to do it just when Epcot is in normal, you know, without any festival, either Flower and Garden or Food and Wine going on, but I don't think you could physically do it while either of those two things are going on.
Yeah, because there was a lot of times where, because depending on where you were at the time, you would literally get pinned to the side, and there was no walking. When it was crowded, like, you couldn't even pass each other to walk.
Right. It was one of those things when that came on, you pretty much had to just stand where you were and just let it go by, which, you know. It's
all good because I enjoyed it, but it was kind of like Main Street when the parade's going on. Like you're trying to get by, leave at the end of the day and get out.
Right.
If you go right down Main Street instead of going back behind the building, you know what I'm saying? You're basically stuck there. You feel bad. You're saying sorry 100 times.
Right.
So you just stay and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No doubt. And I'm sure that had a major. You know, that is a major reason why they got rid of it. Not only that, and they never put anything back in its place from a parade perspective. And again, as popular as it was, you would have thought they would have come up with something else. But the fact that it's more the pedestrian foot traffic getting around World Showcase was probably the overarching factor as to why they didn't do that, which is a shame, but we move on, as the song says. Or we go on.
Now, to stay at Epcot, I'm going to stay right there in World Showcase.
Okay.
My dream would be is to have me and friends, you guys, who, you know, a whole group of us, to be able to explore every single one of the buildings inside a World Showcase, to actually see what is on all the upper floors of all them buildings, just to see what they keep in there, what they store in there. Like, the last trip we were there, we could literally see at the American Adventure, one of the windows was slid up, and there was a guy working at a desk upstairs.
Right, right.
Have you ever seen that?
No, can't say that I have.
Yeah, me, Brenda, and Donna were standing there right by in front of the theater between, you know, in front of the American Adventure between there and the theater. Mm-hmm. And we were just standing there talking, and we look up, and we see a window open, and there was a guy sitting there looking out the window. I don't know if he was security, or what he was, which he probably was.
Right.
But don't you think it would be awesome to be able to explore every one of the buildings inside World Showcase?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I know during the food and wine, and I think they do it during Flower and Garden, too, the Chase Lounge is up there in that area where you're talking about. So he might have been up there. I don't know for sure. But I know a few of those windows face out to the World Showcase Lagoon where that lounge is. But then again, that lounge is only open, you know, seasonally. So maybe they do have office space up there or whatever. The only other one I could talk to, Doug, is the I know at the Norway Pavilion, 1 year the Be Our Guest podcast had their breakfast up there. So we got to go in by to the left where you go in where Maelstrom is and go up a flight of stairs. There's a hallway there, and then there's a huge, like a banquet hall, just tables and round tables and chairs set up, and there's a kitchen and, you know, kind of like, you know, like a conference facility, if you will. But then that was on the second floor of Norway. So there's probably similar things in the other countries, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. I would just like to roam. Like, could you imagine, like, even all the buildings on the upstairs of all Main Street and all that? And just explore the areas that even behind-the-scenes tours don't show
right,
you. I would love to see just what goes on inside of all those buildings. That's one of my dreams in life, to actually see what goes on up in all. And that goes for all the parks.
Yeah, just because we're nosy. I mean, I'd be willing to bet a lot of it would be disappointing. It might be like boxes of napkins and stuff. They're just supplies, you know, storage rooms or whatever.
Oh, dude, it would be like a kid in a candy store. If I was at the Animal Kingdom and went in some of the areas or just the staff members and all, just to see where they keep the napkins, and recyclable napkins would make me happy.
Right, right. No, that's a great one. That's something that nobody's seen or nobody probably will see unless you're a cast member. And even if you're a cast member, you're probably only seen the areas where you work and haven't been in all those spaces across all four parks. So that's a good one.
What's your third, buddy?
Again, my third is nothing great or fantastic other than for personal reasons or whatever, but I would like Disney to institute a payment plan for out-of-state annual pass holders.
Concur. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they do it for Florida residents, that you can finance your annual pass over, I think it's 12 months, it might be 10 or 11, but in any event, you know, for us working families that, you know, struggle to, you know, live day to day and week to week, and we still want to, you know, enjoy our family time and take at least an annual trip to Disney World, if not more. It would be a huge financial relief, if you will, that if you could, you know, pay a couple $100, well, that wouldn't be that much, but you know what I mean. If you could pay $50 a month or whatever it is and pay your annual passes. I don't understand why they do it other than greed, unless somebody can tell me that they just want their money up front and that's it. But boy, that would be something. Kudos to Disney.
I don't know if it has to do with the tax structures in other states or something like that.
It
probably has more to do with the other states being a pain in the butt about it.
Yeah.
Than it does with Disney. If you understand, there has to be something, like, if you're paying that money, mm-hmm. It's kind of like if you buy a car in another state where they charge you tax back in yours.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some law that's really messing it up and they don't feel like dealing with it. That would be my guess. Because it wouldn't make any sense for them not to. Why would they want you to put it on a credit card or something when they could be getting the money monthly? That's another stipend that they could be making interest off of. They could be making the interest.
Yeah, I mean, the way they do it for Florida residents, and it's nice, I don't think they charge interest. It's just you pay it.
No, but my point is it could be going in a monthly bank account where they're getting paid monthly and then they're making interest off of that. Okay. You follow me? It's a pile of money that they could use for something.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I could see is, you know, let's say you bought it on January 1st and you know, they send it to you in the mail or whatever 3 days later, or you pick it up at will call. You know, I guess theoretically you could go back to Disney a month later and stay there for 10 days and use the card. You're paying it monthly, and then all of a sudden 2 months later something happens and you start defaulting on your payments. Disney's given you that, you know, card, I guess, and now you have it and you haven't really paid for it in full. They could lose out that way, I guess.
Yeah.
Or they would, I mean, with computers and such nowadays, I'm sure they could somehow go into the system and void it out if that was the case. But again, you need more staff and cast members to monitor all that and keep tabs on who paid and who didn't pay. Maybe it's something as simple as that. I don't know.
Yeah, but it would be nice because I'd be on board with that right away.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone can't afford, you know, $500 or whatever it is nowadays. It's probably more for an annual pass. When, you know, especially if, you know, even for you and your wife, Doug. I mean, that's $1,200 you got to come up with in one lump sum, and you know, that's not always easy to do. And God forbid if you have a family with a couple of kids or whatever, and that are 4, 5, 6 years old or whatever, now you're in the four passes and you know, now you're talking a couple of grand. That's significant.
Yeah, ours would be three because we'd have to get mom.
All right, see.
Yeah, you know, we have to get her. So. We take her every other time, but once we get season passes, she'd have to be a part of it, you know?
Right, right. And
every time we have, she was, you know?
Yeah, I mean, as it is now, I mean, I'm generally, usually an annual pass holder. I have let them lapse in some years only because I knew I wasn't going to go back in a certain amount of time and it just didn't make sense. So, you know, I've kind of played both sides of the fence, but it kind of breaks my heart when I'm not an annual pass holder. I just like for...
You like saying it.
Exactly.
It feels comfortable. You feel like you're a part of it all the time.
Exactly. And you know, I...
See, like with me being an agent, I it don't make any sense to me.
Right. Right.
Because of the rates I get, they don't give us rate. Not that I know of. I have to check into that, actually. But I don't know if I get a special rate on an annual pass. I have to see what I get for that.
Yeah, maybe you get a discount.
To make
that.
It justified. Because since I've done it, I've always got my tickets for when I go. I just buy them.
Right. And I did things similarly to what you just said. When I was working at the Disney store, we used to get X amount of one-day park hoppers a year, and so I did that for many years, too, before I started getting the annual passes. But it's a pain. You know, there's restrictions. You got to pick them up at will call. They make you jump through hoops that, again, that's a whole nother rant for another day. But they should make it easy, in my view, or easier.
They make it – it's like I got rewarded very well. They took care of me. I was proud of myself for the bonus I got for this year. But the point of it is they do make you jump through royal hoops to get your benefits as an agent.
Yep.
Or if you work for Disney. I mean, it isn't the end of the world, but it should be a heck of a lot. It's hard. It's easier to get things for your clients than it is for yourself.
Yes. You almost get the feeling, and I hate to say
that they don't want you taking advantage
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. And I probably told this story on the podcast before, but I'm going to say it again anyways. This seems to be when Disney knows that you're a cast member – they treat you differently. They almost take off the smile. And not all the time, but I've experienced this, and I'll tell a specific story. You know, when I used to go down as a Disney cast member, and I learned this very early on in doing that, I used to disclose that I was a cast member, like when the waiter or waitress would come up to the table. But a couple of times we did it, and it wasn't just me. My wife said you could almost see the face drop and the body language. It was almost like they're just cast members or whatever. And I don't know if it was because they figured we had a discount and their tip wasn't going to be as large, or I don't know what the reason was, but I just always felt this, that once a Disney employee down at Disney World or any place for that matter knows that you're a cast member, they treat you differently and don't treat you as well. And
I just think they kind of, for the most, not all of them, but some of them, I think, just realize you're one of them, so they can just relax. It's kind of like your family, so they don't have to do the whole song and dance for you.
Right, but I see it, and that's why it's
always. But you still want the song.
Exactly,
and dance.
I want
that's
the song.
That's what you're paying
exactly.
for.
Exactly, and so I got wise to it, and I would never ever disclose that until the end when I had to settle up the bill, because you have to give your Walt Disney ID. And, you know, some other documentations for them to take the 20% off or whatever it was. And only then would they know that I was a cast member. So that's what I started doing.
Well, where their pain in the butt it's kind of like when they tell you buy one, get one free somewhere, but you got to send in the coupon, or you get this discount or rebate, but you got, like when you buy your phone and you get the $100 rebate and you got to fill out all the paperwork. What Verizon's hoping you do is you're too lazy to fill out all the paperwork, which most people are.
Exactly. And that's, and you know, yeah.
And they should just give it to you if you're a loyal customer.
Right.
Like I've been with Verizon for my phone was the size of my shoe.
Right.
You know, it was horrible. It was like $8,000 a minute when you made those phone calls. It was like you could see your bank account going down as you were making a phone call.
Right.
But my point is, I've been with them that long, 20 some years.
Right.
And it's just the point that every reward, every rebate, you still have to fill all that crap out. And I think it's wrong.
No.
And it's the same thing with anything you buy. You go to the store. They don't tell you until you get there. Oh yeah, $100 off, but you got to mail in this receipt.
Right, and you need the UPC.
Make duplicates of it. Do that. They make it. It isn't the end of the world, but they're trying to make it to where if one out of every 10 don't do it, they're ahead of the game.
Right. No. Yeah. Absolutely right. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Doug. I really believe that Disney almost tries to put red tape on cast members accessing. Benefits and when you get down there, because back in the day when we used to go down to Disney World, we used to have to go over to the casting center, which is right across the street from Disney Springs, Downtown Disney or whatever. There's a big building there where all the, you know, cast works, and there was a credit union in there and a cafeteria and all kinds of stuff, but there was a special cast member only store that I used to go in, and I could buy things that were exclusively cast member merchandise. But you know, that's where we would have to sometimes pick up our park tickets. And again, there's one lady there, she was a little older this time we went, and she's all by herself. There's a line, and we're trying to exchange these, one day park hoppers or whatever we were trying to do or whatever. And, she logs onto the computer. It's not recognizing it. And we spent 2 hours there one morning just trying to straighten out our ticket media. And again, shame on them. I mean, they should have just mailed them to our house or whatever, but for whatever.
Or have more people working there. They should just have an area just for the tickets so you can go to the parks. It's what you're there for.
They don't. And again, I hate to say this about a company I love dearly, but it's almost like they don't care, or like you said, they're hoping next time we say, you know what, it's not worth the aggravation, the heck with the one day tickets, let's just buy a regular 10-day ticket or an annual pass and be done with it, because they made it so painful to get your stuff straightened out. And I remember you told your story when you went down last time. Didn't you get jammed up at the Magic Kingdom? You had to wait in a line?
What happened was I was supposed to get – my tickets were awesome. I got my tickets for half price, but I was supposed to be rewarded even more because of things I did that I got more rewards for, if you follow me. And I don't want to say what I got because I don't want to get in any kind of – but I got rewarded very well. But one of the cast members that when I handed the certificate, she'd never seen the certificate for what I was supposed to get.
Right.
She was trying to still charge me the $200, the half price deal.
Right, right.
And she didn't see it, so then I had to leave there. And being I was persistent, I was all ready to just pay the $200.
You were ready to throw in the towel and just say, I'm getting on with my vacation, right?
And then I said, you know what? I did very well. I did all my testing. I did all the stuff I was supposed to do. I finished at the top. I did well. I was rewarded for what I did. So I said, no. She goes, you need to go over to the other will call because there's a little ticket area. If you walk over to the right, mm-hmm. there's a booth all the way down towards you go in the gates and then you turn to your right and then it heads back down towards where the sidewalk and all is. There's a little ticket booth there.
Yep.
And that's where you get will call. Mm-hmm. You can get for cast members. You don't have to stand in the big line at the front by where the strollers
right.
are. That's where the main mm-hmm. is. Well, anyway, I get in that line, and me and Brenda waited for another 15, 20 minutes, and then we finally got up there, and I told her what I was supposed to be getting. And one thing led to another. Three different people read this certificate.
Right.
And it was something that none of them had ever seen. But the point of it was is I end up getting what I deserved.
Right.
And I was proud of my – the biggest thing was more of the principle of it than it was the actual – because Brenda is one that stopped me because usually she's like, yeah, just pay it. Let's move on.
Right, right.
But this time we both put our heels in, dug our heels in, and they took care of me. But I ended up wasting an hour in the morning,
right, right.
45 minutes to do this when really I'm a member of Disney. I drink the Kool-Aid. I do everything I'm supposed to.
Right.
I don't think I should have – those tickets should have been able to come to me. Or I should have been able to get them at my hotel when I got everything else.
Exactly.
How come my IATA card and everything else is good enough to check in at the hotel? Why can't I just get my Disney tickets there?
Right.
Why do I have to go to a special booth?
Yeah, it's you're absolutely right, and it's a shame because – and again, we are kind of, you know ranking on Disney here. But, I mean, we still love Disney, obviously. But, I mean, for people that work with the company and for the company, a lot of times they, for whatever reason, they just don't go the extra mile or seem to want to go the extra mile. They almost make it more difficult, and it's very frustrating.
Well, now that you bah humbugged us with this all one.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go into a happier one.
All right. Is this your number three?
Yes. We're going to stop being bah humbug
okay.
now. Just to elaborate a little more on my number two, as you go back into the Disney Kool-Aid. We're back in the happy place
yeah.
again, everybody. We wish you a Merry Christmas. To elaborate a little more on my number two before I go to three, I'm allowed to do
okay.
this. Don't you want to go into the little cottage in Canada down in the gardens there? Wouldn't you love to go inside that?
Nah, I don't give a crap what's in there.
every time, kidding. Dude, you're kidding, right?
I'm only kidding.
But wouldn't you, my dream is, wouldn't you like to just have that as your little hut? You go in there and go to sleep?
Yeah, I think.
It's like, it's so cool that every time I go in there, I want to run down and just jump that fence and run over in that cottage and see what the heck they have
in
there.
I think there's vats of cheddar cheese soup and filet mignons in there. That's what.
Oh, dude, I'd be like the Oompa Loompas in that
yeah,
house.
Yeah.
I'd be so happy. But you know what I mean? Isn't that cottage, like, so inviting? Like, it's, like, daring you to come down.
Right,
and,
right. And it's set so, so far back in the way they have the, the meadows or whatever they are out there.
The flowers.
Yeah,
it
probably looks bigger and far away than it actually is. But, it's I'd definitely like to poke my head in there and see what's there and see, probably rakes and shovels. It's probably just a shed of some sort. But who knows?
It would be awesome. I could dream of throwing a little cot in there, a little tiny 17-inch flat screen or my little iPad and spending the night in that.
There you go.
But to talk about the go on spending the night, would you love then to have your whole family stay at Cinderella's Castle for a night?
Oh, yeah. I think that's every Disney fan's dream to experience that once in their lifetime. And unfortunately, most never will. But, I'd be all over that if I could.
I could just see me now taking the train around the park. Choo-choo. We're going around the park, having a great time. Then I tell everybody, we're getting off now. We're headed into the castle for the night. It would just be awesome to be able to see the park at night after dark, after everybody else is gone.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, few experience that, and it would definitely be the, wish of a lifetime. The creme de la creme of Disney fandom. I mean, there's not many things you could do. Maybe, go up in Walt's apartment at Disneyland, but other than that, I think a night in the castle would be the ultimate.
Just knowing that was supposed to be Walt's place originally.
Right.
That was the dreams and the plans. That's where him and his family were supposed to have their place.
Yep.
Could you imagine that? Just that's your house?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That's your home away from home in Florida. When you fly into Florida, so where were you guys staying? Ah, we just got this little castle. It's in Disney World.
Right.
That's where we're staying. But it would just be so cool to be able to look out those windows and look out into the park at nighttime and just see how the workers. I would just love to be a part of the elaborate a little bit more. I'd love to be a part of see what goes on that work crew after hours to see really what goes
right.
on.
Yeah, when they're hosing down Main Street and painters come out and electricians are changing bulbs that burnt out during the day. I mean, there's and landscapers changing flower beds. I mean, it's a beehive of activity. I mean, I'm sure it'd be awesome to actually see it happen before your eyes.
Absolutely. Roaming around all the parks. Just see how each crew, what they do every night after hours it goes on. I would love to be a part of that.
Yeah, no doubt. Are you sneaking in a number four on us here?
Yeah, well, I'm elaborating. Like, I snuck out of the castle, and I'm roaming around, and
oh, okay.
I snuck out, and I'm seeing what they're doing right. after hours. But, like, every one of the parks, so wouldn't you love to just see how they go about each night, what they do, how – I mean, it's a fine oiled machine, and I'm interested in stuff like
right.
that.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken about it before. I mean, it's amazing, you know, particularly this time of year when they transition the park from, like, Halloween to Christmas. I mean, that's above and beyond. You obviously know what they're doing, putting up the Christmas decorations. But just on a normal day in the middle of June or something, let's just say, I mean, there's so much maintenance that goes on and different things, and I'm sure there's, I'm sure they have three shifts there. You know, you see some maintenance going on during the day. And that's the thing I'll just mention here, that which kind of bums me out, but I understand it. You know, back in the early days when I went to Disney, they always prided themselves on a guest would never see a painter or a maintenance truck or a ladder or a drop cloth or, you know, all that was done after park closes. And, you know, that was something Disney really hung their hat on. But over the years, that's kind of – they've gotten away from that. And now, you know
– Well, it's gotten to the point, then, where it's so huge, it's kind of hard to keep that. And then also, they extended hours on every single park. So, I mean, you kind of run out of time to where you can do things.
Right. But, again, we can we don't have the time to go into this discussion now. But, I mean, you could say it's all for greed. I mean, would you rather have a little shorter park hours but have the parks maintained to the level that Walt kept his park at when he opened Disneyland? Or would you rather have the extended hours and different things but accept – you know, maybe a little dirtier park or things not painted that are quite up to snuff, or maybe there's a, you know, a little gum stuck on the curbing.
Well,
I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it
out
there.
No, and I agree with you. Yeah, I hear you. And my point of that is I kind of think there was a period there about 5-6 years ago where certain areas were starting to look – it was never horrible, but there were some things starting to look a little long in the tooth.
Right.
I don't see that anymore. Now, I'm seeing more workers, to your argument – but I'm not seeing as many things long in the tooth as I used to. Are you?
No, I generally speaking, I agree with you. But because I love that place so much, I find myself looking for the little things. Or I'll look behind things or over things or off the beaten path just to see, you know, how well things are being maintained or if they're starting to be let go. And, again, I just take pride in that. Not from being a busybody, but I love the parks because that's one of the things that separates it from any other park, not only the theming, but, you know, the cleanliness. I mean, that was one of, like, Walt's commandments, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, we've all heard the stories or even seen the pictures that he would personally pick up trash on Main Street or whatever. You know, it was his park,
yeah.
And I get it. But that kind of you know, that standard, I guess, that he set was always something that was, you know, maybe not written into the Disney bylaws, but it was something they really hung their hat on and people expect when they go into a Disney theme park. And again, like I said, I don't mind seeing construction workers like you because we're involved with construction in our day-to-day life and we kind of find it interesting. So it doesn't bother me. But I just remember back in the day that was almost a no-no, that a guest should never see something that isn't in pristine shape, and, you know, they just didn't expose their guests to it. But
Or were they doing it and you didn't notice it as much because you weren't being the guy to look behind the rock every time
right.
because it was new to you down there?
That could be. But
you're more observant now because you're looking outside the box
right.
and trying to find them doing things
right.
that they shouldn't be. Like a couple trips ago, I seen them actually cleaning the walls in the lagoon at World Showcase. the World Showcase Lagoon. And to me, that was like another show for me. I was enjoying seeing them do it.
Yeah, go ahead.
But for the most part, I mean, like even our last trip, walking around Riverside and walking around, it was like we were so impressed with still how – and I know you're not saying it's not, but how pristine it was. But we hold Disney to such a high standard compared to everywhere else.
Right.
It's like – anywhere else you see a bubble gum wrapper on the ground, you're oblivious to it. But if you see it at Disney, it's like you're almost ready to have a world summit.
Right.
Everybody, look.
Right.
There's a napkin on the ground. Can you believe it? And everybody's appalled. You see a napkin at Great Adventure, like you're thankful you only seen one.
Right. Yeah, but it is true. I mean, I know you've seen this. Mostly all of the managers that walk around the theme parks, the suit and ties or whatever, they all have one of those hands on a spring or whatever to pick up trash. Those things? A grabber or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you'll see them regularly picking up trash. So I guess that part of the Disney culture is still there. I mean, they still take pride in their park being cleaner than any other park in the world. Not a Disney park, but a Six Flags or some other theme park. And it is. I mean, like you said, we're looking at this and being so nitpicky, but, you know, it's just something we've come to expect.
Yeah, because me, I'm amazed every time. Like, you know how you do the walkways and you walk the walkways? Like, know how if you're walking back from World Showcase and you walk to the Swan and Dolphin or Yacht and Beach Club? And know how if you want to, you can actually walk down along the water and go underneath the bridge through the walkway?
Yep.
Well, think about it. I do all those walkways because that's one of the things I love. Aren't you amazed how you never see any writing on any walls anywhere? Don't you just find that amazing? I can't go anywhere in any city, any town, any place without some kind of graffiti or markers or stains on the wall. I mean, I find it amazing that you don't see writing on all the stuff around.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta believe it's happened. I mean, but it doesn't stay. I mean, if it happens, they immediately take it off. Not like...
Exactly, and that's my point. It's amazing how this big of a place, it's the size of New York City, twice the size of Manhattan. Now, they can't keep the stuff off the walls. There's a ton of people visiting down here, too. It's amazing how you got to go above and beyond and figure about the amount of people that visit, the cleanliness that it does have. It's amazing.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, again, like I said, Disney keeps their parks, you know, 1,000% cleaner than any place or any, like you just said, any, if you go to the zoo in your local, you know, city that you live next to or whatever, you're going to see not near the cleanliness of a Disney park. So, yeah, I mean, they do a great, great job. Don't take this the wrong way, but.
No, exactly. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yep.
And the amount of things that are on that property, the nooks, the crannies that you're talking about, how – I mean, you can't go in somebody's house without going and find a nook and cranny where there's dust somewhere.
Right, no.
It's amazing the stand. I think what my point is, I think the standard's still there.
Yeah, I would say it like this. It's still a very high standard. I just don't think the standards are where they were 20 years ago, but for the reasons you mentioned and I mentioned, there's reasons for it. Like you said, they're maintaining many, many more square feet of theme park and water parks and everything, and there's only so many hours in the night to do this, and you can't cut grass during the night, or I guess you could, but it's not the way to do it. So, I mean, some of this stuff just has to happen during the daylight hours when guests are around. It's just unavoidable.
Because I think we're within a few years of more than at least once a week, if not a few more than that, I think there's going to be certain parks that are open all night. And that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's going to get to the point where it might be a 24-hour service at some of them parks.
Oh, I
wouldn't be – they do it – they're testing it now, but I wouldn't be surprised if it don't come to that one day.
Yeah, it's not crazy to think that. I mean, not that Disney World's ever going to be Las Vegas, and I hope it's not, but, you know, they run – you know, Vegas is open 24/7, 365, and there's always something going on. I mean, I'm sure all of the – everything isn't open there, you know, 24 hours, but for the most
part. How hot it is during the summer. Wouldn't it be nicer just to tour the parks from midnight on?
Right.
Just sleep during the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, I'm willing to explore that option. No doubt. That would be awesome.
But, yeah, that was my point. I would like to ride around. It would be nice to get in the manager's cart, the guy that goes around every night and does the inspections on the parks, just to see exactly how each park is run at night when they're doing their cleaning and getting ready for the next day.
That would be something to see, no doubt.
Well, if that's going to be about it, then we blabbed long enough, as we normally do. We want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, whatever you guys celebrate. We want you to have the best, the brightest, and the healthiest time of the year for everybody. You agree, Dan?
I do. Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas, like Doug said, to everybody out there. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you celebrate, enjoy your family and friends, and put a little Disney in your upcoming year.
Yeah, we look forward to – we're getting excited, Dan, about the new year. I can't wait to talk a little more about it. What are we going to have? This is our last show before the new year.
Yeah.
Our last show before Christmas. We're going to do one next – before the new year. We'll have something special for what we hope for the following year for Disney.
Yeah, we can do that show next week, Doug, just to kind of put a final wrap on 2014 and head into 2015. And Doug and I have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes, and we hope to have some exciting news for us in the coming year with different folks we may be working with. And we're hoping to get some different guests on the show for you guys to listen to. So here on WDW Main Street, we have a lot of things cooking. And like Doug said, a couple weeks down the road, we hope to be able to announce some of these things. And it'll be exciting for us and hopefully for the listeners.
The WDW Main Street machine is moving forward. We're looking forward to 2015, to having another great year of you guys listening to us blab. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks for everybody. For all the new followers we have, we really appreciate you guys. And please, like I keep asking for a Christmas present, go over to iTunes and just give us a quick review. Just say, yeah, I like these two idiots, and we'd really appreciate it. And hop on our Facebook, Twitter accounts at WDW Main Street, and check out our website at WDW Magical Main Street Memories. And again, guys, have a very merry and safe Christmas, happy holidays, and all that good stuff. And we will talk to you real soon. Anything else, buddy?
Nope, that's going to do it.
All right, guys, have a great week. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at WDWMainStreetMemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.